Now, while you're turning to Galatians 5 and getting to where you can get there and stand up, we're going to read a little bit again. Let me say this. I said Wednesday night, and I've threatened now for about a month that we're going to take up a special offering for the billboard, okay? So I hope that you've really been praying about what you could do for the billboard, and I'm praying we could take care of that. Today, so we're going to take up an offering at the end of service, and I don't know what the Lord's laid on your heart for that thing, but I can assure you it's worthwhile.
Amen.
And I can assure you that we're in God's will having that stuff up there, and we're going to continue to put some things up there that are scriptural and convicting, and try to show people that God does love them, but His wrath is on them if they won't accept Him. So please pray about what to do for that billboard. And I know a lot of you have been. You've been talking to me about it. And we've waited until today. So at the end of the service today, we'll take up an offering for that, okay? All right, let's stand. Galatians 5:22. It's amazing to me what the Lord's been able to do over the past, just this year already, just in a year and or in a month and a few days through this church. Finances aren't good. Amen? The economy's struggling, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people out of work, but we've taken up here. I knew it was God's will. We've taken up to try to help Brother Fred Wall in Haiti, and you gave generously, and we're going to be able to give him a real good offering and pay for, I think, by the time all said and done, at least a quarter of what he needs. He only needs three other churches to get involved, I think, like we're involved, and he'll have his cistern fixed.
Amen.
And that's great.
Yeah.
That's a real blessing. And, I know you were interested in the billboard. I've had you talk to me about that. And thank God we're paying our bills.
Amen.
And
Amen.
You're taking care of me and my family. And I'm going to tell you something. That does not go unnoticed. I really appreciate all you do, and I'm not big on offerings and not big on talking about money, but I really appreciate what you've done, okay? All right, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and right in the middle is gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I want to, Tony, would you pray for us today, please? Ask the Lord to just tell me what to say, brother, please.
Lord, thank you for your book, Lord. First of all, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for dying for us, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
Just be with us, bless the pastor. Give him the message that somebody in here needs to hear, and probably we all need to hear, Lord. Jesus' name is prayer.
Amen. All right, you can be seated. Well, right in the middle of these nine fruits here is gentleness, and we need that. Amen. Need all these things here. Need these nine fruits of the Spirit. I think I need to remind you of just a couple of things here before we get into the main part of the message. We need God's definition of gentleness. That's what we need. I'm afraid that we're so far gone from what the scriptural meaning and definitions of things are that we really need to start over and get God's definition of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance and all those nine there. I'm afraid that we come into this thing with some preconceived ideas about what these things are. And when we start studying, me personally, when I start studying and looking at this thing, I figure out, well, that's not what I thought it was at all. God's definitions and biblical definitions are not what we think they are sometimes. Our definition, America's definition of love is off. Yeah, I know you'd be willing to admit that. And along those lines, we even go as far as to say this. Americans say if you love your child, you wouldn't spank them. Well, God says just the opposite. God says if you love your children, then you'd spank them. So that's, I think that's the epitome of it. See, that's the tip of the iceberg, if you will. But God's definitions and our definitions, I think they butt heads sometimes. It's just not the same. The Lord, would you say the Lord loves Simon Peter? Come on, amen. Lord loves Simon Peter. Do you know what he said to him? Looked right at him and said, Satan. Pointed right at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So God loves, but God loves enough to tell the truth. And God loves enough to spank when we need a spanking, right? You know, although people are laughing, it doesn't mean they have real biblical joy. Have you figured that out? Have you figured out that sometimes joy is just quietness and assurance? And if you have true joy, you don't have to say anything. You can just sit there with a grin on your face and know that everything's all right with you and your Savior. You don't have to be running around and being entertained and laughing and watching some comic relief, amen, to have joy, right? So, see, I think we've got things a little out of whack. Now, secondly, let me say this. You can be obeying God and you can be filled with the Spirit and not have all nine of these. Fact of the matter is, you're probably not going to have all nine of these at the same time. That's tough, isn't it? And I'm not saying you're out of the will of God if you don't have all nine of them at the same time. You know, even God said, quote, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, God is gentle. Come on, right? But there's a time when you can see that in his actions when he deals with mankind, he's not gentle at all because that's not the right thing to be at the right time. See? So I'm going to preach gentleness to you the best I can, but I don't think we should always be gentle. I think there's some times when we should be filled up with the truth. Amen? And sometimes the truth is not gentle. Does that make any sense to you? Jesus had joy, did he not? Did he also weep? Did they buy a handmade whip and drive a bunch of people out of the temple? Amen. The Prince of Peace. You see, it seems like it would be a contradictory statement, but he had all nine of these fruits of the Spirit, but he knew which time to exercise this fruit. He possessed all nine. I'll go as far as to say that, but sometimes you just don't use one of those fruits. You use another fruit. Amen? Some people in here like bananas and some people in here like strawberries and apples and all that other stuff. That's fruit, right? They're different. They're different. They're all fruit, but it's different. God's a balanced being, right? Sometimes he's gentle, sometimes he's full of wrath. You know, you can be gentle and angry at the same time? I get just as mad at the devil as at sin, don't you? Sometimes when I see sin. But if I attack all the time, I'm not going to help that person. Sometimes the Lord says, I know you're angry at that sin, right? I understand that, and I'm glad you are. But be gentle with that fellow like I was gentle with you. Does that make a lot of sense? Yeah. I know, that's hard. That's against the grain for us. We're Bible-believing, fundamental, independent, mean Baptists sometimes. Amen. And sometimes it's time to be gentle. Now, three, let me say this. Sometimes I forget that God knows what he's doing. How about you? Yeah. Come on, you okay? There's a weird spirit over the meeting this morning. You okay? I mean, Brother Kelly's here and been in town an hour and he's still awake. Come on. If you can do that, if he can do that, you ought to be able to get real excited. They ought to be running around, shouldn't they, brother? Saying amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, the whole nine yards, right? Sometimes I forget God knows what he's doing, and that hurts. God knows what he's doing as far as these fruits, and he knows what he's doing as far as you exercising these nine fruits at the right time. God deals with people differently, does he not? Sometimes it's time for me to be gentle, and sometimes it's not time for you to be gentle. You can't do what the preacher does all the time, and you can't do what mom and dad and mama and papa do all the time. You got to be your own person. You got to get a what we call a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. Find out what he wants you to do and do that. Now, preachers aren't always the same. You know, have you noticed even the same preacher's different from time to time? I think he should be. Have you noticed their stance in here? And I don't control this, okay? I know some preachers that write in their notes, stomp your foot when you make this point. I'm serious. Yell, get loud at this point. Use a soft-spoken voice here. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's just a fellow preparing something. I don't like that. I'm not going to do that, okay? But have you noticed that sometimes in this church there'll be a month or 6 weeks of Sundays where you come in here and you leave thinking, preacher's, he's a little louder than normal. He's screaming a whole lot more. And then for the next 4 or 6 weeks, you'll notice that it's pretty much just like a Sunday school lesson, and we're talking and we're connecting the dots here, scripturally speaking, right? We're saying this verse goes with this verse, and it's no more than a Sunday school lesson. But it closes with a good illustration that tries to get you under conviction, and some of you even cry about what's going on and how God's working in your heart and in your life, right? And then sometimes we'll go for a Sunday or two, and some of the things that we're dealing with are funny, and we'll just laugh a little bit and have a good time. I don't like going to a church where you can know what to expect. The preacher always preaches the exact same way, and he never raises his voice, and it's always just the exact same. I don't think that's right. You ought to be, if you're exercising these nine fruits, then gentleness will come out at one time, and meekness will come out at another, and temperance will come out at another, or the lack thereof. Come on, we preach about the lack thereof. So it's different. It's different. It's going to be different. Now, don't forget that we're talking while we're going through these last few here, these last five. Don't forget that we're talking about fruit. Do you know what fruit takes? Everybody pay attention to this, please. It takes attention, nurturing, cultivating, pruning, so forth and so on. How many of you in here, I've asked this before, how many of you in here got a garden or had a garden? That's a lot of work, isn't it, Noah? I watch Noah's garden. That's a lot of work. If you miss a week, you're in trouble, aren't you? My garden got out of hand last year. We got some fruit out of it, but it's just by the grace of God we got what we got. It looked like a weed patch. I got busy, and I kept threatening to get the kids out there. And you know the kids, they won't go out there unless you make them. They're not just going to go out there and weed the garden. Thank you. Now, maybe this year they'll think twice about it when I say go out and weed the garden, because last year they didn't do it, and I stuck them out there when the weeds were that high. You couldn't even see Brady out there. I said, get in there and get them weeds out of there. And my wife said, where's Brady? He's out there. She said, I hope there ain't any animals in that garden. They'll get him. Takes attention, takes nurturing, right? Takes pruning, takes, you got to get in there and work, right? It takes consistency, does it not? Now, we're talking about fruit here. Been talking about it for this the fifth week now. I'm going to talk about it, Lord willing, for at least four more weeks. Now, listen to me. Don't miss any of the services. If you miss one, you might miss one that God wants you to get. Amen. Amen. You might, look, God might have you set up to get in here and get some pruning. You say, I know, preacher. That's why I'm praying about the one to miss. That's what we need. We need attention. We need pruning. We need nurturing and cultivating. You need, I'm going to preach this before long. I wrote this down. This is a good outline. You and I need the plan of God and the power of God and the purpose of God and the precepts of God. And we need to be around the people of God on a consistent basis. We need that. Jesus Christ cursed the fig tree, did he not? Do you know why he cursed that fig tree? You say, well, it had leaves on it. It had leaves on it. Do you know what it lacked? It lacked fruit. We need fruit. Now look, I know we're saved and God can't curse us as far as eternity is concerned. Who wants to shout first? We're going to heaven. All our sins are gone. What a blessing. But I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be put on a shelf somewhere. I want to bear fruit. How about you? Amen. I mean, if we're going to come here and read the book and pray and try to fellowship with each other and have what a local New Testament church is supposed to be, don't we want to bear fruit at the end of the way? Amen. Now, some of you discourage me. I love you. I got to watch myself here. I'll get in trouble. You know why? You say, well, because we're not this and we're not that. No, it ain't that. It ain't personal. Some of you discourage me because I can see you getting right up on the place where you're just fixing to bear some fruit, and then you pull back. Scared to death. Going to have to give up something. Scared to death, right? It's going to infringe on my time, my this, my that, my this and my that. We're selfish people.
Amen.
I've seen people in this church. I've seen people, it's like a roller coaster, man. They get right up to where they're just fixing to get in there and get involved, and you can tell they want to know what's going on. They want to be involved in this, that, and the other. And then for one reason or another, pull back. That ain't right. That hurts. At this church, I think it's worse than other churches. Let me tell you what somebody told me last week. Somebody told me this last week. They said, "Preacher, this church is unlike any church. This is a person that's older than me, okay?" They said, "This church is unlike any church I've ever been to in my life." I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, any other church I've ever been to in my life, and I've always been in church," they said, "I could go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and it wasn't no problem at all. I'd just go, you know, went to church. That's what my family knew, if it was Wednesday night, where they could find me. I was at the house of God." But they said, "Every time I start to try to get involved in this church, I can tell Satan's direct influence in my life trying to keep me out of church, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night." That person said, "I have never felt the influence of Satan so strong in my life trying to keep me out of church." You know why? Because he knows that if you can get in here and get grounded and stay in here and become faithful, that you can bear some fruit. And he doesn't want you to do that. Because if you do that, then other people are going to get some help, and other people are going to get saved, and other people are going to just grow in grace. Right? Listen, hadn't you figured it out yet? Satan's no dummy. He targets a family, he targets a church, and he says, "I got to do something there." People say, "I don't understand all this spiritual warfare in Ephesians." Church people say that. I say, "I know why you don't understand it. You ain't in a battle. Satan ain't going to bother you. You ain't doing nothing for the army of God." Amen? Now, let's not talk about the gentleness of lost people here. But I will say this. We need to talk about us. We're saved, right? You're saved?
Amen.
Okay, so let's deal with us. We need to be more gentle in some areas, all right? I think this is probably the most overlooked. I've looked at some surveys, and Christians were asked to list the 9 fruits of the Spirit. You know the one that was overwhelmingly left out? Gentleness. Everybody forgets that one. How convenient, I say. Right? Especially for men, right? Come on, guys. How convenient is that? You know, we can say, well, you know, we believe the truth and all this other stuff, but somehow we leave out gentleness. Come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at a couple of places here and use it to get going here if we can. I'm going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 also if you want to go ahead and get that in your other hand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1. 2 Corinthians 10, 1. "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you." Would you agree that Christ has been very gentle with you? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul again, we're going to read verse 7, real short verse here. 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." Boy, that's a good illustration of it, isn't it? Paul said, "When I was among you, you know how I handled you? I handled you like a nurse would handle kids." You ever notice that? Ladies are just the best, you know. I know men can be nurses, and it's okay. I'm not going to pick on that. But you can't tell me they're as good as ladies in that area. They're just not. That's just a gift. Now, I know there's exceptions, but as a rule, you ever watch that nurse cherish those children? You ever watch that just baby him and help? We took Brady after he split his head wide open, and that lady was so good with him, he didn't even know they was putting staples in his head. He just knew everything was okay, and she was talking to him just like a, you remember that? Just like a little kid, and they were just on the same level, and he just glad he was at the hospital, and just glad he was watching SpongeBob on the TV, and it was just okay. And he had 5 or 6 staples put in the top of his head. You could see his skull, and he just, one time he went, "Oh," and that was about it. Now, ain't many men can do that. You know how men do it? "Sit still, kid! You're going to mess it up." That's men, right? Some of you ladies are grinning. You're doing this right here. Can you imagine people, I'm off the subject here, but can you imagine people in our generation saying there ain't no difference in men and women, boys and girls? They're crazy. The kids come to me, I got this, I got that. That's just a scratch. Cut myself shaving worse than that, right? I've heard that. I've heard that for years, you know. You cut your finger off and the old man will say, cut myself shaving worse than that, right? Go get your mother, right? And then when the kid finally finds mom, you know, the act is on if it's not bad. And if it's bad, then she's going to take care of it one way or the other, you know? There's a difference there. He says, as a nurse cherisheth her children, that's how he treated them. He was gentle with them. I confess, I'm not always as gentle with you as I should be. I'm not. Sometimes I'm a little too harsh. Sometimes I'm a little too easy on you. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. So I got some work to do here. What does it mean for a militant Christian to be general? That's our problem. We're militant fundamentalists. We're in the army of God, right? Onward Christian soldiers. But at the same time, we got to be gentle. Have you ever studied some of the greatest soldiers and greatest generals that ever lived? You know, some of the greatest soldiers and generals that ever lived? The greatest militant men that ever lived. They're still gentle. You know, I've read story after story about moms bringing babies to General Lee and General Lee taking that baby up and praying over that baby and shedding tears over that baby and asking God to bless that kid and asking God to help that kid to deny itself. General Lee! Warmonger! I'm talking about a fighter, a man of war. Take a little baby and be gentle. You can do both. Would you think just by reading that book that David was a gentle person? Have you ever read the Psalms? I'd say he was. We're going to look at it in a minute, and I'll prove it to you, but he was a gentle person. Now, was he a man of war? When he decided to go out on the battlefield and get the job done, could he get the job done?
Amen.
You can't ever find anybody that could kill Goliath like he could kill him. I mean, he got out there and got it done. And when it came to taking a city, him and Joab could go in and take the city. But he could be gentle at the same time. And that's our problem. We got to figure out how to do that. Now, what does it mean? It means a few different things. I looked it up. Gentle, mild, kind, gentle in conversation or speech. I'll get ahead of myself here and give you a little bit more of a definition. It says appropriate, patient. Have you noticed that through these fruits of the Spirit, that word keeps showing up? Have you noticed that through 5 weeks already, I think we've mentioned it every week. Patience. Don't we lack? I preached that message out of Hebrews. You have need of patience. We want it done right now, don't we? Listen to this. Yielding. Humble. Listen to this. Condescending. Condescending. Excellent in demeanor. Useful. Gracious. That's gentle. If you look it up, that's what it says. Now, I said one word where when I first looked at it, I did the same thing that some of you did. I went, huh? Condescending. Condescending. See, some of our terminology is off, but there's a double application too. If I look at Karen and say, what are you, stupid? Can't you figure it out? That's a condescending statement. Right? That's I'm putting myself up here and I'm making you feel like you're down there. Right? So my statement has forced you down. But if I come right down here where Kara's at and say, now Kara, I want to help you. Okay? That's condescension too. You see that? The Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ, He condescended to men of low estate. So He's way up there, and instead of being up there and looking at me and saying, what, are you stupid? What? He came down here right where I was at. Walked like I walked. Talked like I talked. Lived in a body like I lived. That's gentle. That's gentle. Does everybody get that? Now, aren't you glad the Lord's been that way with you? Okay, Titus chapter 3. I've embarrassed Kara to death. Kara, I never would have done that a year ago. You'd probably never come back. But you done joined now. You're stuck. Titus chapter 3. Yeah, I did. I gave her the bag. Oh, no. I'm in trouble next week. That didn't work out. Titus 3:1 says this, Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but showing all meekness unto all men, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. Does that fit you? Serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful. Uh-oh. Wow. And hating one another, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And it just keeps getting better as you keep reading.
Amen.
But that thing says there in verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. There's a certain time where we need to be gentle, and that deals with authoritative figures there. How gentle are you with people who are in authority over you? Are you gentle when you're talking about authorities? You know, some of what's... Look, let me say this. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I don't know what I am, okay? I'm afraid I'm anti-government. You know, I don't know how you explain that. Give me a name. I don't know what it is, but it's terrible. It's a mess, okay? But I'm afraid that sometimes as Americans, even though our government is wrong, right? They're wrong in a lot of areas. They're making big mistakes, okay? They're liars. They're cheats. It's a big mess, okay? But I'm afraid that if you went back 150 years ago and let those citizens that dwelt here in the United States of America, if you let them hear some of the statements that we make about our government officials, they'd think we were worthy of death. They'd say treason. Hey, back when my grandma was a kid, when you addressed the president, and I don't care if he was there or not, you said, Mr. President.
Right. Amen.
Now, I don't want to do it either because I don't like him.
Amen.
Say amen.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, he is in an authoritative place. And you and I, here's the fact, you and I are supposed to be praying for him.
Amen.
Now, I want God to do whatever is right in God's eyes with him. And if God does that, then it'll work out just fine. But we're not gentle with our leaders. Come on, amen. You got to be careful about how you talk to people like that. You got to be careful about how you talk to your teachers. All you kids look up in here right now. You know that teacher that you just don't like? My kids don't need to say anything right here. Not a word. Just look forward. Don't even look out of the corner of your eye. You know that teacher you just don't like, gives you a hard time, so forth and so on? I'm going to tell you something, kids. I'm going to give you a good piece of advice. You better watch how you deal with that teacher. You better do what they ask you to do. And just get the work done and graduate out of that class and get to the next class. I'm going to tell you something. If you give that teacher a hard time and pick and snap back at that and get into arguments and debates with that teacher and so forth and so on, there's coming a day when you get my age when you'll feel like you're reaping what you've done, because you'll be in a place where you want people to listen to you and they won't do it. And come on now. I'll give you some more advice, young people. You see that mom and dad sitting in that pew with you? You better listen to what they got to say. Because there's coming a day when you'll have kids and you'll love that kid and you'll want that kid to listen to you and take your advice. And if you don't take their advice right now, then you might have a kid or two that don't take your advice. And then the Lord will say, now you remember how you treated your parents? Any of you kids want to live a long time? Anybody? You kids want to live a long time? You know what the Word of God says about that? You better honor your father and mother.
Amen.
That your years may be long on the earth. That's a commandment with promise, right?
Amen.
So watch how gentle you treat your teachers and parents and those in authority above you. Come to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 17. This is the right kind of wisdom here. 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. What's the next word? And easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So that wisdom that we get from above is, it says first pure, then peaceable, and then it's gentle. And what's after that? Easy to be entreated. Are you hard to approach sometimes, Mom? Sometimes, Dad? Easy to be entreated. That's approachable, right? Husbands need this. Amen. I'll say it if you want. Husbands need that right there. The wife comes to the husband and says, what about this, what about that? And you dirty dogs. You just, I don't want to hear about that right now. I got 10 other things on my mind. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. Just be easy to be entreated one time. Just be gentle one time. Your dads need that. Long day outside, long day in the factory, long day at the office. You come home, you got honey-do list here, you got stuff you need to do here, you got all this stuff going on, and the kid meets you and says, can we, and it ain't going to take 5 minutes for you to do that. I can't do it right now. I got this, I got that. Right? You know what's so sad? Most Christian dads aren't approachable because they don't know the answer to spiritual questions that their kids have for them. And it threatens them. They say, Dad, I heard the preacher say, and he said, I don't have time for that right now. We'll just listen in Sunday school, Johnny. You show me a dad that says something like that, and I'll show you a poor excuse for a father.
Amen. Amen.
Moms need to be easy and treated. You ain't going to get off, ladies. I got your number. When that kid says, Mom, for the 17th time, how gentle are you? I'm going to tell you something. Let me remind you of something. There's going to be a day when you're going to want that kid right there at that house saying, Mom, for the 17th time. And there's going to be a time you're going to want that kid at the house saying, Nana, for the 18th and 19th and 20th time. You better be gentle right now. There's some places where we could be gentle, and we're not. Amen? Americans are good at screaming at their kids. Say amen to that. Romans, the book of Romans chapter 8 says we need to be filled with the Spirit, not just in church, but filled with the Spirit all the time, in every trade, everywhere. It doesn't matter. And gentle people are gentle, especially men, just because they've been worked on by the Spirit of God and there's something going on inside their hearts. Amen? You don't just produce gentleness, right, without the Spirit of God. I'm not gentle after a long day of shopping with my wife. Oh, no. We had to go look for some stuff the other day and spent the better part of the day looking for it at 18 different places, and ain't nobody got what you need, and when they do have it, it's 18 prices. Amen. And by about 6 o'clock, I was hungry, had a headache, and I probably would have fought an elderly lady in the parking lot of Walgreens for an ibuprofen. That ain't gentle. That's wicked. Amen, brother. Amen. You're grounded. Amen, though. I appreciate the sincerity there. Hey, that's bad. That's bad. We're not gentle. Yeah, look, your gentleness is not tested when everything's going your way. Your gentleness is tested when everything's going the wrong way. And then the Lord will send somebody in there just to ask you a little question, just enough to get under your skin, just to see how much spirit you got inside you. We're failing. Say amen to that. Hey, young people, are you real gentle with mom and dad when they tell you no? It's getting real quiet now.
Come on,
Bruce. Yeah. Look, all you kids from 20 on down, look up in here. I want to tell you something. Look right here. Your moms and dads love you. And when they say no because they know you don't need it. They don't say no to be mean. You can't convince me, Taylor, that Shane, your daddy, just sits up at night thinking, now what can I say no to Taylor about? I'm just waiting. He's going to ask me. I know he's going to ask me this, and I can't wait to say no. Now, is your daddy really like that? He's going to tell on him here. Right? Everybody watching? No, he's not. I'm going to tell you something. Your daddy, like every other daddy in here, if he lays awake at night, here's what he thinks about. How can I tell him yes? That's what we want. We love you. We want to help you. So it's harder for us to say no than it is yes. You see? So when we say no, we've already struggled with it. Okay? So when mom and dad say no, you can't have that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't go there. Are you real gentle? Do you say, yes, sir, I understand. If you say no, then I know that's what's best. Is that what you say? Yeah. We're living in fairyland now, aren't we? Yeah, we've turned from preaching over to Disneyland somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. That needs to be your response. Noah, your daddy is looking for reasons to tell you yes. Okay? When he says no, he's already thought about it. And you need to say, yes, sir. Say it with me, Noah. Yes, sir. Say it with me, Isaiah.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And say it like you mean it, too. Right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, don't give me this. Yes, sir. I ain't taking that. I hear what you're saying, but I know what's going on in here, too. See, you're telling on yourself. Gentle is listed 5 times in the Word of God. Gentleness 4 times. Gently 2 times. So 11 times altogether in the Word of God. We want our girls, parents, we want our girls to grow up to be young. We want our boys to grow up to be gentlemen. When the fella stands up here to address the congregation or the group of people, he says, ladies and... In most cases, he's a liar these days. I know what he means. Now, I'm not talking about a kid, a boy especially, that's passive and effeminate and lethargic and everything else. He just needs to be learned how to be militant in one area and then gentle in another area. And he can do that. There's a balance there. He needs the liberty to be gentle without his manhood being threatened. You know what's wrong with these punks out here, 16, 17 years old, trying to prove themselves? They know they got something to prove. They two of them get together and one of them don't want to fight and the other one's glad of it.
Amen.
Amen. When we was kids, we was looking for a reason. Right? But now, you know, they want to act all bad and turn the hat around and wear what everybody else wears and walk with the chest out. You know, it ain't got 2 hairs on it and it ain't big enough. It ain't big as a minute. Amen? You imagine them guys putting that, getting that, make sure they get a t-shirt or something down here where you can see that 1 hair. Hey, hey, God gave you that hair. Right? God did that, not you. I don't understand young men thinking they're big stuff, you know. Come on, amen. Some of you parents are looking at each other. You've seen your boys do that in years gone by. They're afraid to death somebody's going to think they're not a man. I never forget Dr. Ruttman saying he pulled up the gas station and witnessed this guy one time, and this guy had long hair. And he said, I was gentle about it, but I said, why do you wear your hair long? And he said, his response was this, I'm a man, you better believe it. And Dr. Ruttman said, I didn't ask you that. I ain't concerned about that. I'm just asking you why you wear your hair long. And he said, You wanna take a piece? You wanna take a shot at me? And he said, and Dr. Ruttman by that time he wasn't gentle anymore. He said, are you deaf? He said, I ask you why your hair's long. I didn't question your manhood. I ask you why you wear your hair long. And he said, the kid finally just run on, you know. Look, men, young men in here, Kevin, Isaiah, you boys in here, you can be gentle in certain areas, but you can still be a man in certain areas. Okay? So don't worry about it just because you're gentle with your mom or with a teacher, or even with an animal, with a pet, just because you're gentle in certain areas, that don't question your manhood.
Amen.
Don't care. Don't worry about what people think about your manhood.
Amen.
What's God think about it?
Amen.
Real men stand up for Jesus Christ in a crowd.
Amen.
That's what takes guts.
Yeah, right.
Not taking drugs and getting in fights and doing all this other stupid stuff and driving 150 mile an hour because everybody challenged you to do that. You do that stuff, you're a fool. You're not a man.
Amen.
Proverbs 15:1 says this, a soft answer turneth away wrath, But grievous words stir up anger. And we need to get that. We don't need to be obnoxious and loud all the time. This, I know some of you guys like this, but this Ultimate Fighting Championship thing, I don't care for it. You say, well, that's because you're a woman, you know, you're a pansy, you're this, that. No, no. Let me tell you something. I've watched those guys. There's an attitude about those guys. There's a sense of pride. I run into a preacher friend of mine. I run into his daughter, and she's a sweet young girl. She's real nice. She's a real nice girl, but she's going to the public school. She's fixing to graduate from the public school, and she met a fella, and they're dating. We've been talking about that in Sunday school, right? We've been talking about that in Sunday school. They're dating, you know, and I said, what does he do? And she said, he's interested in that, and he's participating in that. And I thought, man, I hate that. I hope he's not, but I bet he's a jerk. I bet he's a jerk to her. Now, you can't tell me, honestly, that most of those guys aren't jerks, ladies. Now, come on. Right? That's pride, isn't it? You know, I'm badder than you in the baddest man in town contest. Look, you dumb nut. Just go out here and pick one of God's trees that's about that big around. Just take a good run at it and uproot it. That's only one of God's trees. One. You take on a man here, you know, and maybe whip on him. You're going to face God one day. Amen. And those guys, you know, I mean, I'm afraid our kids are looking at that and wanting to be like that. Amen? Well, this is for the preachers here. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. 2 Timothy 2:24. Preachers ought to be gentle. Right? Say amen. I need it. Brother Parker, we need to be gentle in certain areas. We ought to put up with some stuff from you and lost people and everybody else sometimes. If the Lord tells us to put up with it, we need to put up with it. Amen. 2 Samuel, let's finish up here. Please come to the pen. 2 Samuel, I know it's got to be late. I appreciate you. Attentiveness and participation. 2 Samuel. Chapter 22, 2 Samuel 22, and we'll start in verse 1. Psalm 18 deals with some of this stuff here, but I don't have time to go over there. 2 Samuel 22, and verse 1 says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." That's good preaching right there, isn't it?
Amen.
Now look at verse 34, same chapter. He's on a roll here. Look at verse 34. David's song here. Look at 34. "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms." Now, how tough is that guy, fellas? How tough is that guy, fellas? That's tough. 36. "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great." It ain't breaking that bow of steel that makes you great. It's breaking that bow of steel and then turning right around and being gentle. That's what makes you great. And it's thy gentleness. It's not yours. It comes from God. It comes from God. It comes from above. Now, that's the thing that's strange to me about 2 Samuel 22. And it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, he rules with a rod of iron. Now, God's in heaven and we're down here. He's real big and we're real small. He's holy, we're not. Right? He's righteous, we're unrighteous. Right? Now, in his fury and in his wrath, could he just do away with the whole mess? He could, couldn't he? Could he do that and be just in doing it? Righteous, pure, holy, right, without spot, without blemish. Nobody could accuse him, right? He could get rid of the whole kit and caboodle. But you know what he does? He steps right down in here with us. He still holds his wrath. His wrath is coming. But in gentleness, he steps right down in here with us and hovers right over the pit of sin that we're in and says, "You want out?"
Yeah.
Remember when you got saved? Amen. That's how it was. Amen. He looked right down there and said, "You want out?" I remember when I was sitting in that pit of sin and tried everything else, and a shadow was cast over that thing. I looked up, and he had his arms outstretched.
Amen.
And I said, "Yeah, I want out." He said, "You willing to forsake yourself?" I said, "Yeah, I am making a mess." You say, he reached down in there in the pit and got you, didn't he? No. He stepped off into the pit with me, put his arms around me, and off we go. Now, the God that is capable of the wrath that he's capable of came right where I was and was gentle with me and put his arms around me and said, "Let's go." Boy, you talk about a chauffeur now. That's great. You can't beat it. You need that. Christian, Baptist, person here, saved person here, you need that gentleness. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, let's stand for prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed while she plays. You come right now. Don't waste any time. No hesitation. Important time right now. Come on. God wants to do business with you. You need to do business with God. While they're coming, I want to read something for you here. Take your time, pray. Please shut out my voice if you got praying to do. Don't worry about what I'm saying. But if you're still listening in the pews, let me read something for you. I want to show you how gentle and how loving God is. Let me read something for you here about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. But he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Although he comes in his wrath and his fury, he's able to take up in his arm the young lambs and be gentle with them at the same time. We got to learn how to do that. We got to pray. We got to pray and learn how to do that. Won't you come right now? Don't wait. Don't wait. You know you need to come. Just step out. There's no sense in hesitating. The Lord knows your heart. You get down here and want somebody to pray with you, please slip your hand up. There'll be somebody come right where you're at. Pray with you. I'm going to tell you something. In a Baptist church, it's good to see grown men in the altar praying, asking God to do something. Asking God to do something in their heart, in their lives, in their family. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.